This time on Weather Brains.
We think the Florida Peninsula and the East Coast is more vulnerable this year than the Gulf Coast is.
He's considered the world's foremost expert when it comes to predicting hurricanes. You'll get to hear Dr. William Gray's predictions for the 2006 hurricane season, plus what he has to say about global warming.
Is the world caught up in some hysteria at the moment?
I believe so, yes.
Also, the price Dr. Gray pays for his views on global warming.
What makes me sad, he is under intense, and I mean intense, personal attack.
And we'll talk about how global warming is shifting from science into politics.
We should be studying hurricanes, but we're not going to, or because somebody thinks global warming is more important.
This and more, it's all coming up. Welcome to Weather Brains, the podcast that's all about weather, produced by the Weather Geeks from the Weather Company in Birmingham, Alabama. I'm one of those weather geeks, David Black, and with me, the chief weather geek, James Spann, chief meteorologist with ABC 3340 Birmingham, as well as Brian Peters, Bill Murray, J.B. Elliott, a bunch of geeks with us for this podcast. Hey, James.
It's just a big geek fest here, isn't it?
Exactly. What have you guys to report, Mr. Peters?
I have nothing to report. I had a wonderful day talking to the students at Montevallo Elementary, despite what Mr. Spann thinks.
They didn't run you off?
No.
Wow.
They're a good group.
We think there's a cardboard cutout.
A cardboard
Brian
cutout?
Brian Peters on the blog. Yeah, we think there's a cardboard cutout, and Brian actually had children pose with that. If you go to our blog, go to the ABC 3340 blog and scroll down to this post called Award-Winning Students, you see Brian in two different pictures now. In each picture, you have different kids, but Brian is exactly the same. I mean, his head tilt is the same. His clothes angle the same. It's got to be a cardboard cutout or a Photoshop job.
So I think we're talking copy-paste scandal here.
Yeah, we think Brian's down at some place having lunch, and you probably know which one I'm thinking of here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And while he does the cardboard cutout thing with these kids.
That's all right. I got a bunch of fourth graders who turned $100,000 into $115,000 in 10 weeks.
That's pretty cool sounding. So they're really learning the intricacies of business, huh?
They really are.
I need to get some stock tips from those guys.
Yeah, it is absolutely wonderful. Fourth graders placed second in the state of Alabama, only being beaten by some high schoolers at Oak Mountain.
Man, pretty impressive.
Very impressive. Good group of kids.
Speaking of impressive, Mr. Elliott, how are you?
Going good. Going good. C plus.
All right. Any news from Bill Murray this time around?
Nothing special to report, David.
Okay. Well, nothing special to report, but we're at a very significant time of the year. We are, depending on when you're listening to this podcast, we are about a week or so, or maybe even a little less than a week, roughly, from the start of hurricane season 2006 in the Atlantic Basin. James, you want to throw out any thoughts that you have about what we might be in store for this time around?
Well, I guess the buzz on the street is that the day we're doing this podcast, the National Weather Service released their hurricane season outlook. And, of course, by now most people had a chance to read it. In case you haven't, it's, in their outlook, it indicates an 80% chance of an above-normal hurricane season, a 15% chance of a near-normal season, and only a 5% chance of a below-normal season. And what they've set up in their outlook here is 13 to 16 named storms, 8 to 10 hurricanes, and 4 to 6 major hurricanes. So, it's kind of in line, I think, with everybody else's outlook. It's going to be active. The question we still pose, and I don't think anybody knows the answer, where are these things going to recurve in the westerlies? And until we get them out there in the playing field, I just don't think we're going to know that.
That's a tricky call, and this is Hurricane Preparedness Week in Alabama, with hurricane season officially starting June 1st. So really all eyes are going to be paying a lot of attention to this with all the destruction from Katrina and other storms that pounded the Gulf Coast last fall. Of course, the big question I guess everybody wants to know is, are we going to have a repeat? And I guess you just don't really have any certainty of knowing one way or the other whether that's going to happen.
That's true, but I'd like to throw something out, and that is that it really doesn't matter how many storms we have. The northern Gulf Coast is extremely vulnerable to any storm, even of tropical storm strength. got all these people living in mobile homes. Waveland, Mississippi, I spoke with the police chief at a conference I went to a few weeks ago, and he said that with the population of that county, and I'm sorry that I don't know which county Waveland is in, but that county has a plan for this coming hurricane season, and that plan is if there is a tropical storm or a hurricane of any intensity whatsoever, it is mandatory evacuation for the entire county.
I wonder about the Atlantic coast, too. We're going to talk more about that later on in the program this time around. Well, when one man, Dr. William Gray, gives his annual predictions about Atlantic hurricanes, people listen. Gray's annual projections are well known for their assessment of the number and strength of hurricanes Americans will have to deal with each season. That certainly applies for the Gulf Coast here. The 76-year-old Gray is a professor emeritus with Colorado State University, and he's here now to share his thoughts with us on the tropical season about to start, as well as some other subjects. Thank you for being with us. Could you give us your current assessment for what type of tropical season we are in store for starting in June?
Yeah, we expect an above-average season. We're calling for 17 named storms, 9 hurricanes, and 5 major ones. Not as active as last year. That was just a special year. We're calling for about two-thirds of the activity we had last year, which is last year was the most active one on record. Now, most of the years since 1995 have been very active. We have we're in a new era for these storms when the Atlantic Ocean circulation, the so-called thermohalian circulation, is running faster. And when it runs faster, we tend to have more active hurricane seasons. And, for instance, the last 11 years when the thermohalian circulation has been faster, we've had 44 Atlantic Basin major storms. That's a 4 per year average when the long-term average is about 2.3. So we're definitely in this active era for storms. Now, with this isn't, in our view, due to global warming or human-induced global warming, whether natural or not. And these are just the way the atmosphere functions. Now, the last 2 years have been so destructive, not so much because we've had so many more storms than we had in the period 95 through 2003, but that the steering currents, we tended to have this upper level ridge or high off the northeast U.S. coast, and it steered the normal storms coming out of the tropics further west, and they kept moving west till they got in the longitude of the U.S. and then recurved to the north and came over our southeast coast.
After Hurricane Katrina, everyone has a new awareness about the destructive potential of hurricanes. What everybody wants to know is whether another Katrina-like storm will occur this season, and if so, where it might
strike. Well, nobody can say that. There's no lie, but there's always a possibility, like if a major storm goes into the Gold Coast of Florida from, say, Palm Beach down to southern Miami. There's about 6 million people live in that area. That's a very vulnerable spot. Should we have a major storm going in there, we'll probably have almost as much destruction as happened with Katrina. However, the probability of that, you know, is fairly low. Also, we have depends in the Galveston-Houston area, a major storm going in there would cause probably almost as much damage as Katrina did, or one going into Long Island or New York City area would also do a lot of damage. So, but the probability of this happening in any one year is fairly low.
Do you believe?
So no one can tell whether this year will have a this will be a very destructive year or not. My feeling would be in that we were very lucky in the 9 years from 1995 through 2003. We had 32 major Atlantic Basin storms, but only three hit the U.S. And then the last year, we've had 13 major ones, and we've had seven hit the U.S. So it's hard to know at this time whether we're going to be lucky, and even though it's an active season, not many hit the U.S. coast, or whether we'll have, like in 1992 was a very inactive year. We only had one major storm that year, but it was Andrew and went into south of Miami and did tremendous damage there.
Do you believe the Atlantic or the Gulf Coast region is more vulnerable at this point to a major hurricane, or is that
we think the East Coast. The odds favor the East Coast, say from the U.S. East Coast down through the Florida Peninsula. We put the Florida Panhandle and the rest of that in the Gulf Coast. But we think the Florida Peninsula and the East Coast is more vulnerable this year than the Gulf Coast is, although the last 2 years it was the Gulf Coast that had most of the major damage.
Katrina is still making news even today because of all the devastation it caused. Are there lessons?
Katrina, you know, is a terrible devastation with it. But had the levees not been breached there, the damage with Katrina would have been probably less than half of what it really was. Mississippi would have borne the brunt of that storm.
What do you see in the future of hurricane forecasting at this point? Will we see a day when you can accurately predict a hurricane's evolution in its earliest stages?
No, I don't think we'll ever see that. I mean, we'll, from a short-term point of view, yeah, we'll be able to do better forecasting of the genesis and the intensity change. I think that will get better, and the motion of the storm. I think forecasts out to 3-4 days will gradually get better. However, from a seasonal point of view, to be able to tell before the season starts where a storm might hit, I don't see us ever being able to do that.
I read a recent news report, Dr. Gray, that drew a connection between global warming and mosquitoes thriving in part because it's getting warmer in Africa. And I've also seen a report connecting global warming to contaminated oysters. It seems as if global warming's being associated with everything from hurricanes to hangnails.
Yeah. Well, there's no doubt the globe has warmed the last 30 years. Yes, we are in global warming. There has been The polar areas are undergoing more melting of ice and snow. The glaciers are melting a bit, but that's natural with a 30-year warming trend. We had a similar warming trend in 1910 to 1940, but that terminated in the middle 40s, and from 1945 on to the middle 1970s, we had some weak global cooling, and they were predicting ice ages and things. So people tend to extrapolate trends that go along. I have no doubt the globe has warmed a bit, and there's been various changes due to this, but I don't think this global warming trend is going to keep on going. I think 3-5-8 years, we're going to reach a point where we did in the middle 1940s, and the globe will begin to cool. I see the main global temperatures not due to greenhouse gases that humans put out, but primarily due to the changes of the ocean circulation patterns. And I think these ocean circulation, these long-term changes, multi-decades, 10, 30, 40 years, century-long changes, I think these are beginning to indicate that we're going to terminate this 30-year warming period we've been in and begin to see some cooling, and all these projections of doom that the global models are coming up with, you know, that the globe's going to warm 2 to 5 degrees centigrade in the next 50 to 80 years or so, I think they're grossly exaggerated. I think there may be a little bit of global warming, but not near what the models say. I would estimate with a doubling of our greenhouse gases, we might have 0.2, 0.3 degrees Celsius warming, but certainly not to 2 to 5 degrees. But that's as I see it. That's from everything I have learned about how the atmosphere functions in over 50 years in the field.
So is the world caught up in some hysteria at the moment?
I believe so, yes. I think we're extrapolating the current trend too much. And, of course, I think the global world, we're somewhat manufacturing a problem that is not near severe as indicated. And, of course, there are, if you can manufacture problems like this and scare people, there's money and funding and research opportunities there that might not be there if the scare wasn't there.
Well, back in November of 2000, Dr. Gray, you said the topic of global warming, and I quote, has taken a life of its own. You said
yeah,
it has been grossly
right.
exaggerated, and I was going to
that's
ask
that's right, that's right. And, of course, you know, we do have a problem in the world with fossil fuels. There's no doubt that they're going to eventually run out, and we have great environmental problems, but they're usually local problems that have to be solved on their own individual merits. And I can see people say, well, it's good that, I don't know if humans are causing global warming, but it's okay to assume that because it'll put pressure on us for alternate fuel research and cut down on our petroleum burning, and this is all this is generally good. Well, that's probably true. It's generally good to do those things, but we can't. The first obligation we have is to tell the truth as best we can. And if I thought the humans were causing global warming as the numerical modelers and the advocates of it say, I would be for cutting down fossil fuels too and doing those things. But I don't think that that's true. I don't think we can do anything about the problem because the Chinese and the Indians and other emerging nations are not going to cut down on their fossil fuel. So I don't know what the Western world can do with this problem. It is not as bad as we think. We just got to adjust to it as best we can.
But it seems as if the confusion for the public and the disagreement on the part of scientists is just continuing to grow. I'm looking at a story on CNN's website that was presented in late April, and the lead sentence, Dr. Gray, says, the record Atlantic hurricane season last year can be attributed to global warming, several top experts, including a leading U.S. government storm researcher, said.
Yeah, well, I completely disagree with those people. I've had great run-ins with them, and I think most of those people that are saying that have not studied storms. So the people I know most about hurricanes and have studied it long and hard agree with me generally. They're very skeptical of that humans are causing these storms to get worse. Now, a lot of the people saying that are well-credentialed people. They had departments there. They have done good work in other scientific fields, but their knowledge of hurricanes is limited. And I think many of them see this as an opportunity to get some research funding, get their names in the paper, and blah, blah, blah. And they're trying to exploit this hysteria as best they can because the average person who doesn't work in this field is, of course, easily, he can be exploited easily because he doesn't have the background knowledge and information to be able to judge these things. So there, a lot of people are out there exploiting ignorance on this topic for their own ends. I hate to be so cynical here, but I'm afraid what I've seen over recent years and so on has led me to that general take on the subject.
Dr. Gray, you have many decades in meteorological research, tropical research. People eagerly wait for your predictions every year to find out about the hurricane season. What's ahead for you? What are your plans for the next few years?
Well, I'm getting along in years. I'm 76, but I said I'm going to keep going until half my ex-PhD students, I've had about 20 of them, 50 masters, told me that I'm senile. Then I'll quit. But I want to write a book on tropical storms, and I have a very good colleague now. The forecast actually goes out starting this year with Klotzbach and Gray. I have a very brilliant, talented young colleague here named Phil Klotzbach, and he's putting a little more effort in the seasonal forecast now than I am. But we talk every day, and I hope to hang around a few more years with this thing, and I hope to be a voice to try to hold down some of the hysteria on this global warming topic that I think is just overplayed.
Have you any advice for our listeners about what they might want to keep in mind when it comes to predicting hurricanes?
I think the Southeast U.S. is a wonderful place to live. I love to go to the coast, and I can see people living along there. And storms are very rare. A storm coming over any one place in any one year, is the probability of that is quite low. So I can see people continue to live and grow in more development along the Southeast coast. I just want to advise people to do what the local government and emergency managers in their area tell them to do. Do a little planning, have things ready. And just realize that if the damage keeps rising, as it inevitably will because there's so many more people along the coast, that your insurance rates may have to go up and things. But my best advice is just do what the local people tell you to do, and realize that the knowledge of these storms is not that great that they can tell you for sure a day or two from landfall exactly where the storm's going to come and what damage it's going to do. So you're going to have to evacuate 3, 4, 5 times for every time you really need to. And because you have evacuated a few times when you didn't think you needed to, doesn't mean you shouldn't still follow what the local government and emergency managers tell you to do.
Very good. Dr. Gray, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Thank you very much.
Sure. Okay. Glad to do it.
Good luck, sir.
I'm very reluctant to express my views, right?
Understand.
No. Okay.
It's been great. Thank you, sir.
Sure. Okay. All right. Bye.
Take care. Dr. William Gray, Colorado State University Professor Emeritus, the man that his picture is in the dictionary when you look up hurricane prediction.
He's my kind of old codger.
He's a brilliant man. Fascinating to talk with.
I remember the first time that I saw him at a hurricane conference, and he was saying some of the same things. And that was, gosh, this was back in the mid or late 80s.
You know, David, what makes me sad, he is under intense, and I mean intense personal attack by a lot of the global warming people. And I mean, it is very personal and very ugly and just hurtful. And I hate that he's having to go through that after such a wonderful career and, just everything he's done for the science. And it's from the global warming crowd that they're afraid somebody's going to start listening to this voice of reason. And, you know, maybe some of their funding will be cut off for some of these research projects. And a lot of the politicians have bashed Dr. Gray very unfairly, in a very personal way. And my question is, you know, what politician is qualified to bash him anyway? I don't know of any politician that's got a degree in meteorology or climatology that's even qualified to speak on the subject.
Well, and too, James, I've got a collection of weather books here. You go back, and what he said, you know, because he said between 1910 and 1940, we experienced warming, and then between 1940 and the middle 70s, we experienced global cooling. And I actually have books in my library where in the middle 70s, authors were saying that we were going into an ice age because of the cooling situation. And I understand that, you know, at some point,
Bill is on that 56K dial-up again, I think, here. We're going to get him a new VIC-20 or Commodore.
You got to admit, it adds a comedy element to the show, doesn't it?
It really does. You know, that's kind of like the we can all guess as to when Bill's internet connection is going to die during the show.
Hey, Bill.
Is it going to be 18 minutes in or 22 minutes in or 25 minutes in? We're all going to chip in and get him a really good internet connection for Christmas. So in 2007, this is not going to happen on WeatherBrains.
All I want for Christmas is a high-speed connection.
High-speed, reliable internet connection.
Did any of you see the special on the Fox News Channel last night about global warming?
I did not. I would love to hear what it was about, JB.
It was telling the other side of the story, countering the earlier story about global warming, and Dr. John Christie was a major part of the special.
Wow. Our man. Former WeatherBrains guest here.
Yeah.
It was interesting to note what Dr. Gray was saying meshed perfectly with what Dr. Christie was saying, and what most people, I suspect, do not realize when you hear all this talk about global warming, and that is, this centers around money.
I believe it was back in 1911 when there was very little ice on the Greenland ice cap, which proves again that it goes in cycles.
I find it interesting, too, that today a politician issued a planetary emergency due to global warming.
Planetary emergency?
Yes.
A PE. What is that?
Well-noted politicians, and I don't exactly know what that means, but for those of you that know what it means, you better do something about it. But that's the kind of lunacy that we're facing here. The public is having to listen to that. And it just doesn't make sense. I'm so glad for Dr. Gray, and he's got courage and the guts to speak the truth in the wave of this political storm of global warming. It's a political hot potato right now.
I wonder if maybe 40 years, 50 years from now, folks will be looking back on this saying, that guy named Gray, he was right on it.
Yeah. Absolutely. And they'll probably be talking global cooling, and we'll have the politicians on the global cooling bandwagon in 30 years.
Got you back, Bill?
Yeah, and you know, something interesting, James, that Dr. Gray said was that, you know, between 1910 and 40, we had global warming as a natural cycle. And between 40 and the middle 70s, we had global cooling, actually. And since then, of course, we've gone through a warming period. But I've got probably no less than 6 books in my weather library from the middle 70s that had these dire predictions of an ice age coming. And, so I think what he said about we follow trends and extrapolate them too closely was very a very important comment. I just got Douglas Brinkley's wonderful book on Hurricane Katrina, The Great Deluge, and it is full of misinformation about global warming. And this is what concerns me immensely. I was speaking to a Rotary Club recently here in Birmingham, and the topic, you know, turned to global warming, and I gave my opinions, and this guy literally attacked me at the end of the meeting, and I was shocked at the vociferousness of his argument when he had no scientific data to back it up. I mean, absolutely zero. And you read comments like in this Brinkley book. He's a pretty noted historian, I think. You know, he said that the concentration of CO2 in the Gulf of Mexico contributed to the intensity of Katrina. I'm like, that is the silliest comment I've ever heard in my life. And it passed through a lot of editors to get to the final readers, and that kind of misinformation is just, you know, what we're going to deal with. This is a very important argument, and something that, you know, it can't be done through politics and through intimidation. And I heard that Dr. Gray had a run-in with somebody at the AMS convention this year. One of you guys probably remember who that is, but they had a pretty significant run-in, and it's a shame that it comes to that.
This is being perpetuated even more earlier in the week on May 21st. Don't know if you guys saw this. ABC News, on their website, Bill Blakemore wrote a story. Let me just quote the lead paragraph from that story. There is no official Category 6 for hurricanes, but scientists say they're pondering whether there should be. as evidence mounts that hurricanes around the world have sharply worsened over the past 30 years, and all but a handful of hurricane experts now agree this worsening bears the fingerprints of man-made global warming. End quote. What do you think Dr. Gray would say to that?
Hogwash.
Horse hockey.
And what scares me, you know, here's this national media fouling this up. What else are they fouling up in other areas that we're not experts in? It just lessens their credibility. It is absolutely horrifying to hear this stuff.
Well, I think Dr. Gray really hit the nail on the head when he said, you got to sell your project with dire consequences, and that's the only way you're going to get funding. And isn't it a shame that our society is being reduced to that? You know, that we can't use common sense to study a problem that we all face along the coastline. It's a problem that's not going to go away. We're building more and more on the coastline. We're becoming more vulnerable along the coastline. And yet, we should be studying hurricanes, but we're not going to, or because somebody thinks global warming is more important. And then we hear politicians putting out a planetary emergency. I just want to know what we're all supposed to do. Is that, this sort of harkens back to the Cold War, and you know, we all have to have bomb shelters. And just
which politician issued that planetary emergency? What country?
Well, this is at the Cannes Film Festival, so I'll give you one guess, JB. In fact, this politician has a movie, a documentary based on his political or his environmental beliefs is coming out. It's being screened at the Cannes Film Festival. Which one you think, JB?
Is he from East Tennessee, East Central Tennessee?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
Just up the road.
Yes.
Did he invent the Internet?
He invented the Internet. And the documentary is called An Inconvenient Truth. And, you know, he's been out lecturing since he's been out of office over the dangers of global warming. And so now he's produced this movie. And if you look at this this story that I'm looking at, which is off the BBC News, it's got him with a big shot of Hurricane Katrina behind him on a chroma key wall, you know, scaring people. So I don't know. I think we have to be civil, and I think we have to look at the other side. I sure do. I don't, you know, just blow blow it all off. And I really try and be civil to the other side. But what, again, really bothers me is how they have personally attacked William Gray and just tried to belittle him. I've heard jokes about the way he looks and his age, and it's absolutely insane. And this is the crowd that preaches, you know, the tolerance and all this stuff. They're tolerant over everything that they believe in, but if you come against it, then you'll be under attack. And it is very regretful that Dr. Gray has had to, you know, he's had to deal with this stuff for a while.
Maybe time will vindicate him.
I think it will.
But probably people won't acknowledge that. He'll be one of those silent keys in history. Nobody will remember that he fought against it and talked against it and showed common sense. Yeah, I guess I'm getting cynical.
Well, it's time to get down to business in terms of this hurricane season. In fact, I had a bunch of emails today when I came back in after the weekend off. Everybody's seeing this big cloud mass in the Gulf of Mexico thinking that this is Alberto, you know, the first of the season. That's not Alberto. That, you know, it's an upper level low, but you know, the GFS is hinting at something going on down there, and I caution people on the videos we do. You know, the GFS is famous for bogus tropical systems in the longer range, but, you know, with an anticyclone aloft, some kind of old front down there in the northern Gulf, that's how those things get going early in the season, and they're typically big rain producers, like the one that hit Houston, Allison. I think that was the one that dropped, 37 inches of rain out there, so it'll be interesting to see where the first one forms, what it does, and we'll see if that sets a trend here for the season.
And I wonder if, as Dr. Gray suggested, folks along the Atlantic seaboard may have reason to be edgy this time.
Well, you know their luck's going to run out at some point, David. I mean, they kind of watched from a distance last year with all the stuff going on, and I know that there are some people, and I think Dr. Gray indicated he kind of has a gut feeling that this might be the year of the Atlantic Coast Hurricane. And you hate to, you know, wish these things on anybody, but it'd sure be nice to give the Gulf Coast a break because they sure need one.
That they do.
Got an email I thought I'd throw in for us right quick. This comes from Wayne in Trafford, Alabama. Quote, I know this is probably too much to ask. Have you thought about doing two WeatherBrains podcasts weekly? One during the usual week and one during the weekend? Hey, Wayne, we've all got jobs, day jobs. There's your answer.
It's nice that Wayne listens.
Yeah.
My cardboard cutout has got to make school visits.
Absolutely.
Yeah, now before we break up here, I want everybody to go to the blog at some point. Go to abc3340.com and then weather and then blog and check out the post from today. This is Monday, May 22nd.
The post from Brian Photoshop Peters?
Brian Photoshop Peters, and he was out at a school, and the post says award-winning students. That's the headline. And he's got two shots, Brian with these kids, and I'm telling you, there is no difference between Brian and either shot. That's got to be a cardboard cutout.
Very suspicious.
And if you're very observant, you'll see that there are differences in my stance, the pocket, the hand. There's a number of differences if you're just a little bit observant.
Attempting to claim innocence.
Yeah, right. I feel like I'm at a restaurant, you know, with an 8-year-old. They give you the child's menu, and you got the little games you play on there. And one of the games is always, what's different between these two pictures? I'm having a hard time figuring out what's different between Brian and both of these pictures. So we'll let our astute listeners check it out and see if they can find one.
Well, we had fun having Dr. Gray on our podcast this time, and we hope you enjoyed it. A reminder that the opinions you heard expressed here on WeatherBrains this time are strictly those of the person airing them, and they are not those of ABC 3340. And if you feel so inclined to contact us, our email address is question@weatherbrains.com. We'd love to hear from you. For James Spann, Brian Peters, J.B. Elliott, and Bill Murray, and we know what's on Bill Murray's Christmas list, I'm David Black. Thank you for listening to WeatherBrains. We'll see you next time. WeatherBrains, copyright 2006, all rights reserved. Adios.
Hey, man, that was a great interview.
I was excited just to get to meet him on the phone. You know,
I was here last week, David. I was in Colorado Springs. Or not Colorado Springs, in Fort Collins.
Well, why didn't you take the WeatherBrains recorder and catch him in person?
Hey, it did not occur to me.
That's what we pay you the big bucks for, Bill.
I know. It's ridiculous.